Kaplan, the coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Mr. Gagnon is a recipient of the Benjamin Spock Peacemaker Award. He was featured on 60 Minutes for organizing a campaign which protested the launch of 72 pounds of plutonium into space in 1997 on the Cassini space mission. In 2003, Bruce co-produced a popular video entitled Arsenal of Hypocrisy that spells out US plans for space domination. In 2006, he produced another video entitled The Necessity of the Conversion of the Military-Industrial Complex. So, Bruce.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for sticking around for this last panel. We appreciate it. I live in Bath, Maine, where Navy destroyers are built. These ships are outfitted with so-called missile defense systems that the Pentagon today is using to help surround Russia and China. Few people in my community, including activists, are particularly interested in where these ships will go or what their military mission is. It's not popular to raise these questions, especially when Bath Iron Works is the largest industrial employer in our state. In the US today, 59 cents of every federal discretionary tax dollar goes to the Pentagon to fund the cancerous war machine. Our communities have become addicted to military spending as our physical and social infrastructure continues to deteriorate. There is virtually no money for anything else these days as we witness austerity cuts in social programs here in this country and all around the globe. The Pentagon says that America's role under corporate globalization of the world economy will be security export. We won't have conventional jobs making useful things in our communities. Instead, we will build weapons for endless war and send our kids overseas to die on behalf of oil corporations. In fact, today, weapons are the number one industrial export product of the US. And when weapons are your number one industrial export product, what is your global marketing strategy for that product line? What does it say about the soul of our nation that we have to keep selling weapons and killing people around the globe in order to provide jobs for workers so they can feed their families? In addition to coordinating the global network, I'm also a member of Veterans for Peace. And just days ago, we completed a low-tech 125-mile walk across parts of our state that we call Walk for Peace and a Sustainable Future. Increasingly, the only real job investment money coming into Maine and across the nation from the federal government is for military weapons production. So now nearly 10% of Maine's economy is reliant on weapons contracts. We began the walk up in the beautiful mountains and lake region called Rangeley, where the Pentagon's Missile Defense Agency is considering putting up to 60 so-called missile defense interceptors, which in fact are key elements in US first strike attack planning and are aimed at Russia and China. Narrow winding roads would have to be bulldozed and widened, and huge holes would have to be blasted into the mountains in order to insert the missile silos. Toxic fuel would be trucked in and stored on site, the same rocket fuel that is now contaminating water sources in 22 states across the nation. The whole plan would be an environmental disaster, and would cost taxpayers more than $4 billion. This program is an important illustration of how our nation increasingly puts blind trust and faith in space technology to fight modern wars. Come to find out, the Pentagon didn't even want this expensive program, but pressure on Congress from the Boeing Corporation forced it to go forward with an environmental impact statement process in public hearings in four states, including Maine, to select an East Coast deployment site for the missile defense base. Another major weapons program being built that the Pentagon didn't actually want is also in Bath, Maine, where I live. General Dynamics Corporation owns Bath Iron Works, where the destroyers for the Navy are built. The standard destroyer previously cost $1.5 billion each and is outfitted with another version of these missile defense interceptor missiles, which have had much success in their testing program. But after Obama became president, he forced the Pentagon to build the new high-tech stealth destroyer that they call the Zumwalt class destroyer, the job of which is to sneak up on China and blast it with an electromagnetic railgun and other weapon systems. This is part of Obama's pivot of 60% of U.S. military forces into the Asia Pacific to provocatively confront and control China. As it turns out, the majority stockholders of the General Dynamics Corporation are the Crown family in Chicago, who helped Obama get elected to the presidency. So we owed them. And the new Zumwalt stealth destroyer, at a cost to taxpayers of between $4 to $6 billion per copy, is their reward. As part of the U.S. pivot to China, the Pentagon needs more airfields for warplanes, more barracks for troops, and more ports of call for ships being deployed into the Asia Pacific. So in places like Jeju Island, South Korea, we see a 500-year-old farming and fishing culture being torn apart, and UNESCO-recognized World Heritage soft coral reefs just offshore being destroyed as a Navy base is being built for U.S. nuclear subs, aircraft carriers, and the destroyers made in my hometown of Bath. Endangered coral reefs in the Philippines, Australia, Hawaii, Okinawa, and other places are similarly being severely impacted by U.S. military expansion across the region. The global network is working hard to build international support for the local struggles against U.S. military devastation of the environment and the way of life in these communities. The Pentagon has the largest carbon footprint on the planet today. But sadly, there is little acknowledgement of that fact by most climate change groups, which well illustrates, I believe, the off-limits nature of the growing military domination of our society. Some environmental leaders have told me over the years that they don't want to negatively impact their positive working relationship with Democrats in Congress by taking on the more controversial military issues, which most Democrats fully support because they bring jobs to their districts. We've become an occupied nation. The corporate oligarchy that runs the show in Washington uses space-based technologies to spy on us and to direct all warfare on the planet. In a way, you could call today's expensive military satellites the triggers that make the high-tech weapons like drones and missiles work. These satellites allow the military to see everything on the Earth, to hear everything on the Earth, and to target virtually every place on the planet. The military-industrial complex has become the primary resource extraction service for corporate capitalism and is preparing the future generations for its dead-end street of endless war. In the US, approximately 40% of all scientists, engineers, and technical professionals currently work in the military sector. This is a colossal waste of talent and intellectual resources as we face the coming reality of climate change. Due to the fiscal crisis across the nation, engineering, computer science, mathematics, astronomy, and chemistry departments in colleges and universities have become increasingly dependent on military funding. We're sold the line that high-tech robotic warfare will save American lives and will be a cheaper way to fight. One key reason for the militarization of space is also as a resource extraction strategy so that they can go out to the planetary bodies and get the precious resources that we're running out of back here at home on the Earth. And to do this, they say they need nuclear power in space. They need it for mining the sky. International space law is now being rewritten to allow corporate control of the planetary bodies. The plan is to scrap the United Nations Moon and Outer Space treaties so that the corporations can claim private ownership of the planetary bodies. Rovers on Mars today are powered with plutonium-238. In 1989, in 1990, and then again in 1997, I organized campaigns at the Kennedy Space Center to protest and try to block launches of these radioactive plutonium launches into space. And today we hear space entrepreneur Elon Musk say that we've got to move our civilization to Mars. And in fact, the organization called the Mars Society says the Earth is a rotting, dying, stinking planet, and we have to move our civilization to Mars. Imagine the cost of doing that. The militarization of everything around us is indeed a spiritual sickness. Lakota holy man Lame Deer, many years ago, talked about the green frog skin, the dollar bill, and how the white man was blinded by his love for the paper money. His spiritual connection to the Mother Earth was broken. In 1877, the great Lakota warrior Crazy Horse was brought onto the reservation in South Dakota as the Indian Wars came to an end. Along with the end of the Civil War just 12 years before, the military-industrial complex at the time saw an end to its massive war profits. It needed an enemy to keep the production lines going. So a strategy was developed. Journalists and artists were paid to fabricate stories saying that Crazy Horse had broken out of the reservation and was going back on the warpath, killing innocent civilians, children, white children, raping white women, and burning their houses to the ground. These stories were printed in major newspapers across the nation, and the American people were outraged and afraid, and they called upon Congress to do something about it. And of course, Congress complied, swung into action, and appropriated more money for weapons production, while Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull sat inside their teepees on the reservation without a gun to their name. Similarly, in our times, we've seen the military-industrial complex fabricate stories about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And today we see ISIS, which has been trained, armed, funded, and directed by the CIA and Saudi Arabia as the justification for the U.S. to get back into Iraq and to bomb Syria. With so many communities now across the nation addicted to military spending, we need a transitional strategy to deal with the jobs issue, because literally we as a people, as a movement in this country, are held hostage by this jobs issue, as so many people now and so many communities are dependent on military production. Studies by the Economics Department at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst show that military spending creates the fewest jobs, while spending on rail, wind turbines, education, healthcare, repairing our sewer and water systems, and other such things creates more jobs with the same amount of money. Abolitionist Frederick Douglass reminded us that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. When it comes to our current evil, dark economic system called militarism, we should be talking about its conversion and the jobs that would result from that transformation. Good jobs could be created for home weatherization and building rail systems that would get us out of our gas-guzzling cars. Legions of unemployed workers could be hired to work in towns and city organic, to create city town and city organic farms. And as we reject our military-industrial base, we lessen the obvious oppressive war machine on our lives. Without massive cuts in the Pentagon budget, now, immediately, we cannot kickstart our needed social redirection. The integration of the economic conversion issue into the existing work of the peace, environmental, labor, and social justice movements could be a transformative strategy that would unify our disparate efforts and provide the despondent American people with a positive vision for the future. We don't have any time to waste. Thank you very much.